This is True North Story, the original podcast series. Learn, love, listen, live. Are you ready to discover your True North Story with your hosts, Tama Fulton and John Hudson Messerol?
Hi, I'm Tama Fulton. Welcome to True North Story, the series. My co-host is my childhood friend, John Hudson Messerol. John and I grew up in the same neighborhood in Chicago together. And as we grew up, we realized that we had a lot of things in common, including we both were on a journey to find our True North story. True North is your purpose in life. It's the thing that grounds you. It's the calling that you have. And your journey to True North is your True North story, things that guide you along the way. John and I have talked to some amazing people, and we want to share their True North stories with you because we all have True North stories to share.
I found myself lost alone, afraid of my surroundings. Wishing that I was back home, and the devil never found me. I just called to say I love you.
We love you too, Aaron.
Oh, word, I'm so.
That's awesome.
You got your Starbucks, so you're good.
Oh, yeah, it's bitter as shit, but it's delicious. It's good.
Love it. Stronger the better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, we are so happy you're with us. We are huge fans,
well,
let me just say. And you have got some talent.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Some talent.
Some talent. Some amazing talent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. You have been blessed.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Yeah, absolutely.
On our True North story, we talk about where it came from.
I'm born and raised right here in Seattle, Washington. Yep.
How was life for you as a kid and growing up?
So my life as a kid was pretty interesting. It was really filled with a lot of polarities, highs and lows, you know, that I went through. My mom was young when she had me. She was 19 years old. And my dad was just this kind of this thug on the streets. And so I kind of already was born into a situation in which things are already going to be different. So I experienced life through, you know, the perception of someone that dealt with a lot of tribulations at a young age, but learned to transmute, you know, for lack of a better word, those experiences into something positive and helped those carry me to where I'm at right now. So, but yeah, childhood was interesting. Like, my mom was, you know, addicted to drugs and alcohol her whole life pretty much. And she couldn't take care of me. And there's moments of abandonment that I experienced as a kid that really shaped the way that I perceived love and the way that I would emote to the rest of the world. And also being brought up into a family, you know, my aunt went on to raise me, you know, for the rest of my life. She's like a mother figure, you know, but like going on to live with a family that wasn't really your family. I mean, it's your family, but it's not really like where you come from. And so the energy is different. And you're different, and you know you're different, and they know you're different, but they love you anyways. You love them anyways too, you know. Just, but you always have that perspective and the perception of someone who's looking from the outside in and not the inside out, you know. So that's, you know, that was pretty much the basis of all of my music was that, you know. It's like being the outcast, being the misfit, and learning how to make something out of that, you know.
Yeah, John and I can totally relate to that.
Yeah,
we know what that
sure.
is.
When did music present itself to you as a possible outlet for your creativity and your passion while you're dealing with those internal struggles, you know, as a young man? When did you start to say, hey, I can express myself creatively through music to help cope with this?
Well, you know, music was just always with me. I mean, we're born with certain gifts, but that's all they ever are is gifts. You know, like you didn't just come into this lifetime and say, I'm going to be this person. You were given this tool and ability to reach people on a mass level if you choose to. And it's not your gift, though. It's like it's just something that's always with you, and it's your job to nurture that. So I think music itself was never really something that, like, was not there. You know, it was always my outlet. It was always something that I went to. It was always something that took me away and took me to a different place. And it was my obsession from a very young age, since I was born, really.
So were you listening to artists and resonating with particular artists at all?
You know, I've been listening to Little Gary Clark Jr. Just because, you know, that cat's definitely opened the door for people like me to step forward and take the spotlight as well, you know. And listen to a lot of electronic music right now. Odessa's blowing up, and that's one of my favorite groups. Kendrick Lamar is another really artistic person that really has inspired me to put, you know, more of that street element into my album. And You know, so it's, I mean, I'm listening to a lot of different people, but I keep going back to the classics, though, to be honest. And if you ask, I think anybody who's trying to make it right now in the modern spotlight, like, we have, you know, mass respect and adoration for our colleagues, but we're always trying to look at the greats and see what the greats did to be great, you know?
Yeah.
Current or otherwise, you know?
So when you were a kid, what did you like to listen to?
I listened to a lot of Michael Jackson. Yeah, Michael was like my biggest influence, but then, you know, guitar-wise, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain. And like, so I listened to, growing up in Seattle, I was growing up here in the 90s, born and raised here, so I got all that, and I got all the grunge stuff, like, really resonated with me. And then, you know, but I also came from this family that was very soul oriented, so that's what my sound is. It's like this, you know, urban soul meets Seattle rock.
It's really interesting because the first time I heard your music, I immediately felt Jimi Hendrix's fingerprints all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a guitar, but it's a sound, it's a way that I hadn't heard in music in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And how has his influence come through your guitar? I mean, you're singing, your vocals and everything are different, but I'm just talking about the way you approach the way you play the guitar.
I lied one too many times, ignored the tears she'd cried, apologized, but she heard it all before. I'm out of lies to say, and how I dream of yesterday. I did it to myself again. Self-destruction always wins.
Mind, we have to understand something about Jimmy. Jimmy's mind was expanded because Jimmy experimented with hallucinogenics, you know. And so
Right. What
the real reason that I think I sound like Jimmy is, yes, I took more after Stevie Ray Vaughan than I did Jimmy, but the reason I kind of more gravitated towards Jimmy and listening to what he did was because that I understood something I think that maybe Stevie Ray Vaughan didn't understand at that time, was, which is the ethereal connection from soul to music and how to express that. You know, I'm a self-taught guitar player, and I was just talking about this recently. As a self-taught guitar player, I was never given a book or told that this is the limitation in which you can learn guitar. Therefore, there was never a boundary in which I could learn guitar. I was never taught a way. I was never taught any of that. I soaked in whatever I could use for me and tied it all together and what worked best for me. And the only person I know in the history of time to really be able to do that and in the way that can, you know, resonates with me was Jimi Hendrix. He was just coming from a place of universal soul and collective consciousness to bring you a sound that resonated with something deep inside of you. And I think that really my spiritual journey is what has allowed me to convey those sounds through my music and through my guitar. And watching, you know, someone and studying someone like Jimi Hendrix benefits me the best because he was the same way. And I'm just, you know, here to finish his spiritual work.
That's like a whole, I have to soak that in for a minute. You're like a philosophy man.
Yeah.
and you're both from Seattle, you know?
Yeah, we're from Seattle in the same neighborhood. There's an energy where I come from, you know, and there's an energy of, it's like soul, it's vibe. I grew up in the Central District in Seattle, Washington, and in the early 90s and 80s, and that was a place where it was predominantly black or mixed community, and that brings a certain soul, a certain level of energy to where you come from. But growing up in this city, when you're exposed to so many different things and so many different sounds and different people, you know, it's like, that's just what you do. You mix those sounds, you know, and I'm here, like, I'm just here to finish that spiritual work, you know. And
yeah,
like,
so you know that you had a purpose.
Yeah, and my purpose is a little more focused than Jimmy's, because Jimmy was really, you know, there was a point in time when he got really caught up in spirit and was really exploring that world through music and physically, and it took him so far away that it took him away, you know. And so I think I differ from Jimmy in the way that, like, I understand ego's purpose as well as consciousness purpose, you know. And so I keep myself grounded in ego and use my ego to help thrive and push me to be great by understanding that this is a conscious journey.
John here likes a lot of Eckhart Tolle stuff.
Yeah.
Understanding about yourself.
Yeah.
Knowing who you are.
For sure. I mean, it's not really just so much understanding myself, though. It's understanding who we are as a collective and not just as oneself. You know, individualism, it only comes from the idea of collective, you know. And if we think of ourselves as one collective mind, and then we're individuals that share that collective mind, and within us are more individuals that share that collective mind, you know, things even outside of us, even in our universe, you know, then you start to really open up and see what the world really is about and what people are really about. You know, we're all co-creating these experiences, like the clothes we're wearing on our skin right now, and like these headphones and the studio where, you know, the radio, wherever, some hands, some mind had to think that up.
You know, what's really interesting is that all starts with awareness, right? And I mean, there's so many folks out there that you run into who are just unconscious. I mean, they're just completely, they're just going through the blocking and the tackling every day.
Yeah.
And you ask them why, they can't tell you.
Yeah.
They have no idea. It's just, well, that's what I thought I was supposed to, you know, what I thought. And then you get folks who go, no. There has to be more. And they start to reach beyond themselves, but to your point, the collective, but it's being aware that the collective even exists outside of yourself.
You see, that's just kind of the point, right? That's why they say it's a collective consciousness. And like, if everything is, let's say, we'll equate it to vibration, which is what I think of everything, is everything's made of vibrations. And in the universe, there are different levels of vibrations. That means there's got to be different levels of consciousness as well, different grades of consciousness. And at the bottom, if everything is falls on the principle of polarity, at the bottom is completely unconscious, and at the top is ethereal, godlike consciousness, and everyone and everything in between is a different degree. And as human beings, there's some of us that fall in higher degrees of that and lower degrees of the spectrum, but it's all one thing. And the more that we continue to just be okay and tolerate those people for where they are and who they are and what they're doing, and show them love more than anything else, just show them love instead of intolerance, then the more our collective minds vibrate together and we raise the collective consciousness, you know. So like, that's really what music is about, you know. And you talk to any musician at the top levels, and they may not, their stage personas may not personify that, and their, you know, their image may not personify that, but I can guarantee you they're thinking the exact same way.
Beautiful. And you know, I love it that you learned guitar with no right or wrong. You just were boundless, and then you took that energy and that gift and you elevated it.
Yeah.
You had an experience, I understand, where you actually met your mom on the street.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in your life,
yeah.
And a song came out of that.
Yeah,
can you tell the story of that?
Yeah, so I was about 15 years old, and I was taking the bus home. I used to bus out to Roosevelt High School, but I lived in the Central District, and you know, I was taking the 14 because there was an alternative way to get home, was to like take the 72 into downtown Seattle through the bus tunnel, hop out down in Chinatown, grab the 14, and then ride the bus on home over to 30th, which is where I lived. And so I'm on the 14, just about near home, and I looked at the side of the road. I hadn't seen my mother in a long time, and there she was. So I asked the bus driver to pull over and let me out of the bus. This like little chicken shop on 28th. And so he stops right there on 28th. I walk down. My mom's right across from, you know, Martin Luther King and Jackson. I walk up to her and I say, "Mom." And she asks me, she says, "Sir, can I have a quarter?" And at that moment, like, I realized my mom, it was just where she was at, who she was, and all this stuff. Like, my whole mindset changed, and who I was changed, and all these things happened at one time. So, like, frantically looking for ways to help her, and, you know, went to my aunt's house and, like, you know, tried to ask for help from everybody at that time. And then I talked to my aunt, and my aunt was like, "Yo, she's been this way for a long time, and, like, a lot of people have known about this for a long time, and it's kind of something you have to accept, you know. And you have to also have to accept that one day, you know, this is probably going to take her away if she doesn't fix it." And that's what happened, you know. It took her away. It's like that happened to me, and you know, that really affected the way that I kind of perceived a lot of things, you know. And it's like that. I've been studying hermetic principles lately, and it speaks of the world being just in different levels of vibration and like rhythm and, you know, mentality and polarity and gender and all these things, you know. And the only way that people can really soar in their lives is if they've ever seen the depths of despair, because if the pendulum can swing that far one way, you can only imagine how far the other way it swings. And it's like, you know, those people that are being slung into stardom, it's like we're being slung, like slingshot from like the bottom to the top in this way. And we've experienced such a level of deep hurt and pain that we've used to launch us into the other end of the spectrum, which is light and love, you know.
It's that momentum.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can mute the backswing. We can mute like the negative stuff if we just raise vibration. And raising vibration is to be happy no matter where you're at. And if the people around you aren't speaking the same language as you're speaking, or bringing the same thing to the table, then they're not for you, and they're trying to hold you back from this new level of vibration that you're at. And that's been like my lesson in this past month as things are growing for me, is like, learn to raise your vibration and be okay with people who aren't there yet, you know?
You mentioned, I can't even imagine at 15 years old, to have that moment of clarity on the street looking at your mother. I mean, so what what was the song? What were the lyrics? What came from that experience that drove you to write about it?
Music was always a thing that really took me away. And at that time, I'm 15 years old. I'm like 2 years into playing guitar. It inspired the song that was, it's called Play Me a Song. And the lyrics go, it's cold outside, you can feel it in the air. And people walk around me and act like they don't care. And isn't it funny how life can be unfair? But that's how it goes when it rains and pours and nobody knows your pain. So play me a song, young blues man. Play over my sorrow with the fingers on your hand. Because only you, baby, you can understand that that's how it goes when it rains and pours and nobody knows your pain. Those lyrics were written because, like, music was, at that point, became my new mother. Because, like, no matter what I was going to search for in my life, there was not going to be any one thing in my life that was ever going to treat me like music treats me or takes care of me like music takes care of me. And that was my way of just saying it's all right, you know. And it's almost like a song of forgiveness. Like, I forgive you for being the way you are. I forgive you for these things. I forgive you for all these things because music has me now. And it's going to take me away. It's going to take me to that new place. And so, like, that's what that song is really about. And so, and it's going to be a feature on my next album.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You go from being a 15-year-old kid at Roosevelt, learning guitar and writing music, to opening for B.B. King, being at Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, what is that? Take me on that journey. Take me from 15 to today.
Well,
in like five minutes.
So I was never really great at school. I had no really interest in it because I had more interest in playing guitar. Surprise. You know, so I walked around the halls of my high school just playing guitar all the time and not really interested in going to class or being in class, even just wanting to play more and more music. And I turned 18 and I moved out to Minnesota to be with a love of mine out there. And I was just a kid and exploring the world and, like, failing miserably at that because I'm 18 years old. I have no idea what I'm doing, with no diploma, no nothing. Like, I'm just out. Just trying to figure life out.
I don't think anybody knows who they are when they're 18.
Oh my God, no. It's terrible. It's awful.
No.
You know, I still, that's kind of, you know, I'm in Minnesota and I start playing a few gigs in Minnesota. Kind of just really went off, like, just jamming mostly, but like sandwich shop gigs. And then me and my girlfriend at the time decided to move back to Seattle. And we moved back to Seattle, and that's when I started hitting up the open mics and trying to get shows and, like, these little coffee shops and things. And, like, just the idea cultivates into something new. So I started out with this band called the Rain City Blues Trio, which was just a bit, two guitars, electric guitars and a bass, two singers, which was something real interesting. And then I kept really jamming a lot, going to jam sessions, and through that I learned how to like put my show together and be able to go to bars and play shows. So I gradually did that for a while. Played over Pioneer Square, I played at the J&M, I played the Central, I played at 88 Keys, I played all over Pioneer Square. And then once I felt ready, I got another band together and got a lot more serious about it. And that's when we started playing bigger shows, opening for Robert Cray, probably my early, you know, 23 years old, opening for Robert Cray and traveling more. I mean, I went down to Atlanta and got a phone call from this label called Wonderland out of Atlanta. It was to go and play with this punk group that was associated with that label down there, but that was also the label that was owned by Janelle Monáe, who is an amazing, amazing singer and songwriter and doing her thing, you know, Grammy nominated and everything. And so I got the experience to go down there and work with those, you know, those cats down there and then eventually go on tour with those guys. And that was the year right before Fun dropped their album and blew up. So we were opening for Fun and Janelle Monáe on the road, East Coast tour. So I gained a lot of experience from that. Brought it home, got even more serious about my project, and that's when things really started taking off. And we got to play Bumbershoot 2 years in a row after that shortly, and we played, you know, started getting bigger festivals. And then the album drops in 2013. You know, we got picked up by Sir Mix-a-Lot. He found us and really loved what we did and decided to produce our album for us. So we dropped the album in 2013 after Bumbershoot, and it takes off after that. You know, since then we've been touring and, you know, stepped on stages with Michael Franti and Spearhead and B.B. King and, you know, Slipknot. And
wow.
Yeah, I've been all over Living Color and who was that? Robin Trower and like some of the biggest names in the industry, and, you know, doing a lot. And now I'm working on a new album with Barrett Martin and Jack and Dino Mixing. We're at Avast Studios, and it's like this album's really shaping up to be a big release for us. It's like a lot, you know, we're on our way, and like, but it's always been this journey of learning how to find oneself, and that's all we're ever trying to do. It's just find that one mind, and when we find that one mind and, like, learn to be selfish and do the things we love, and the universe around us begins to reflect that love. This goes out to any artist or musician out there. If you really want to be great at what you do, you have to understand one thing, and that's that we all have this one collective consciousness. In order to feed the collective consciousness, you need to stand for something. That requires people to really go inside themselves and figure out what's going on with them. And the more that you find that in your center, and the more you find your purpose, the more the world around you is going to start to reflect those changes, and your life will immediately change, you know?
If you had to describe, if someone were to ask you, so what do you stand for? What is your purpose? I mean, in just a couple of words.
I think if anyone has a chance, I mean, you have like a bratty rock star persona, which is kind of silly and goofy. And like, you know, I do silly stuff that gets me talked about or in trouble or some girl pissed at me or something.
Sure.
You know? But if you really get to know me, then I think you'll realize that there's something way more to me than that. And I'm connected to something on a very deep level. And the people that are around me know that. And what I really stand for is the collective ascension of mankind's consciousness through music and work.
Yeah.
I have an ability to articulate myself in a way and explain myself to people in a way that like that makes sense. And it doesn't make me sound crazy, like, but without a real kind of base in realistic thinking. And I'm able to speak that way. And I can do it through my music. I can stand for something in my music and let people know that they have so much more power than they think they do. And the world that we live in is just, it's full of these powerful people that want you to believe that you're in their power and not in yours, you know? And so, but you're always in your power. And once you realize that, that your mind is the most powerful tool that you have, and you too can help inspire others to be great. And I just want to inspire greatness and reflect divinity in every person I see, you know? I mean, if you really think about it, like the only reason people think I'm good at what I do, or the only reason that people think I'm great at what I do, is because like of an experience that they're creating for themselves. I'm helping and assisting in that, but they have to process that and interpret it for themselves. So the beauty in that they see in whatever I do is really the beauty that they see in themselves. And if I can reflect that back to people over and over again, then maybe we, as a collective, we can change.
True North Stories, meant to inspire, encourage, motivate, and offer hope. And now, back to the program.
You're not looking in this man's eyes, John, but I mean, this key emits love. I mean, seriously, yeah. I feel it. You know, you have a positive energy about you. Your love of music, your love of words, your ability to articulate yourself speaks so highly of you, Aaron.
And I may be in Atlanta, which is so weird that you just drew a Seattle-Atlanta connection in some of your journey. But I will tell you something. I can hear it in your music. I may not be able to see your eyes, but when I listen to your music, I can hear there's something there that is above and beyond what you hear when you just listen to a song. There's a spiritual influence. There's a power. There's a depth to your lyric, to the soul of the music, and it moves you. And I would encourage anybody who listens to this podcast to go check out any number of songs. Tell me just quickly what your favorite is. I mean, and I know that's hard because they're all personal to you on a different level, but just off the Dream album, for example, there's so many I could go down, you know, Feeding from the Devil's Hands, or I really personally like On Two Feet I Stand.
I know that you think that you found yourself a man, but I'm just full of broken promises. Lonely man is all I am, but I've been down this road before. Heavy burdens, heavy loads. You know how the story ends. On two feet I stand. On two feet I stand.
That really resonated with me, and Can't Stop the Rain. What are some of your favorites?
So I think my favorite on the album is the one that really pulls at the heartstrings of ladies across the country. my favorite song is the one that really connects with people the most, honestly, and that the reason that it pulls at the girls' heartstrings is because that's what connects the most. And it's funny because I don't know if we realize this as human beings, but we are actually really drawn to maternal energy. You know, all of us are really, really drawn to maternal energy because we are children of this planet. Like, we come from this planet, and this planet is what nurtures us and takes care of us. And so we're all really, really drawn to this, like, really feminine energy in all things. And so the whole music industry surrounds the idea of making music for women. It does, yeah. So
wow.
Like, if you listen to like the number one hits of all time, they're all about women or about love or about from a woman about a woman, or a boy talking about a girl, or it features a girl vocal on it that's talking about a relationship. It's always about that level of love. And so the song that I love the most is My Love Remains because of that. And it's because like that's a really sincere song from my heart, but like there's an energy in that song that resonates with so many people.
If I've ever made you cry, I'm sorry if I broke your heart with my selfish lies.
somewhere down the road, we lost our way. And even though you're not long gone, there's still one thing left to say. My love remains.
If I'm speaking from a universal level, that's the song that I really love the most. But, you know, I really like all the songs. One of my favorite songs that I think was one that was kind of like a little more slept on was Bounce Your Head. I like that song a lot because that song is really about music, man. It's about these 90s kids listening to hip hop, and that's like our fuel, you know? Yeah, so it's about like 90s, you know, Pac and Biggie and Dre, and I talk about Eminem, and I talk about Kurt Cobain, and I talk about B.O.B. and Lil Wayne, and like, you know, I mentioned the Misfits, and so like I'm like dropping all these like dope band names.
My friends think I'm cool. Restless pain, like Eminem and Kurt Cobain. When it's all said and done, what's cool anyway? Let's just get insane and bounce our heads. Just bounce our heads. Let this music free your mind, where sound waves in your thoughts collide. Don't say I'm okay, we're all gonna die, so let it ride and bounce your head.
I think it's one of those songs that, like, when my next album comes out, that song will probably get a little more attention, just because people are gonna go back and listen to the old album too. The challenge with this band has been over the last few years, and I think we're finally figuring it out, but challenge has been like taking that live essence, putting it down on an album, and luckily, like, I've been working with Barrett Martin, who's a really, really smart guy and has been around the people that do just that and knows how to do just that and bring out those live tonalities. So it's just a pseudo version of the album. I'm releasing a new single called Lay Your Body Down, which is about exactly what it talks about. It's about being the baddest and doing your thing and being a rock star and loving what you do. It's a really, really dope song. It definitely carries some essence of hip hop, but it's got Settle Rock all over it.
Yeah.
artists that are just kind of getting going, and like I was, it's harder to take that, what you're doing, and put it down technically for an album, and then be able to bring that out with different tracks and do different things like that. So I am a very technically proficient guitar player. I don't really talk that way usually because I play guitar from an emotional place.
Yeah.
But in learning the guitar the way that I have, has also made me a very technically proficient guitar player. So that's when the artistry really comes out, is when you get in the studio and you're going to be in the conscious minds of people versus being seen. Because when you're watching someone, like you're listening to them, but you're having, you know, a hard time really scoping out what's really going on, you know, what's really happening. With in terms of the technical abilities and their musical abilities, and unless you really follow music and know Patreon. I wanted to just mention Patreon real quick. So we have a kind of a crowdsource funding going on. It's a monthly thing where people can get to go to the website and donate however much money you want and for however many months you want, and then cut it off if you like. But it's been really great for us. A lot of people have gotten on board with it and really been helping fund us to get to the next level. So wanted to kind of put that out there that we have a Patreon that's available. Just look up Aaron Jones and the Way. It's Ayron.
You know, when you talk about inspiring other artists, it's like the creative part and the passion and the wanting to make music and record, it's obviously very expensive. And maybe other people are looking for ways of encouragement or find hope in their pursuits. How do you make the lean times while you're getting there? What does that look like? And how do you survive those become bitter?
You just got to, I've been saying this a lot, but like really, you know, I was like, when I first started out, like I was this kid with just raw talent. And I just thought I was the man already. You know, I was really egotistical about, about my abilities because like I knew how good I was, you know, and that I had something really special, but it was raw. It was untamed. It wasn't honed in and I didn't know enough yet, you know? And it wasn't really, honestly, until I got grounded in that level of self and spirit that, like, that things change. When you go through those lean times, you got to understand everything is always going to react in almost like a waveform. There's going to be ups and downs, but it's all the same thing. It's all life. And it's learning how to appreciate the little things in life, even when you're down and you feel like you don't have enough to get by. It's like learning to appreciate the little things in life is what gets you by and ultimately, like, rides you through that little down wave. But in that down wave is a time of reflection and learning and making, you know, the right moves to set you up for that next level that you're going to, because the wave's going to go up again, and are you going to be ready for it? Otherwise, you're just going to pass you right on by.
We've had such a great talk with Aaron, and he's brought his guitar. I don't know if you want to play a little bit for us. That would be awesome.
While you're doing that, Aaron, I was going to ask you, what's your favorite guitar?
I just play on a Fender Stratocaster,
right, exactly. Aaron and Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I play on a Fender Stratocaster, and my favorite guitar. I've been playing on this. It's called a Fat Strat, and it's got a dual humbucker pickup on the bridge, which I really like right now. It's something that was special though, nothing special. I mean, it's just a good sounding guitar that I use, and then I have a blue Deluxe Stratocaster that I have Texas Specials put in, and so that one has a really great tone for some of the soul stuff I play.
It's harder when you're moving too fast. But smile for the moment, I wanna make this last. And I know it's harder to get things off your mind. But you know I'm patient, so please take your time. Thank you.
just take your time. I know that you're afraid. But I'm in no rush. We'll take it your pace.
Aaron Jones.
Thank you.
Love it.
So good.
Amazing.
Aaron, people can follow you, right? You're on Twitter, You got a website.
Yep, AJ in the way 206. That's our Twitter. My website's ajintheway.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/AJintheway.
And so they can go there to find out where you're going to be and what you got coming up.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. We're announcing some stuff pretty soon here, so people can just check us out and listen in.
And today is the day of your single.
Lay Everybody Down, that's right.
That's right.
I think we're going to have that on YouTube, on our website. It'll be all over. Just you keep track of the website and keep track of us.
Okay, very cool. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to True North Story, the series. And tune in next time for another True North Story.